Welcome to my study. After 30 years, I've concluded that everything you need to know to be successful in every part of your life is found in one book, the Bible. So it's been said that a straight line, by definition, is the shortest distance between two points. I like that definition. Now, here's the problem. Most of us wander a long way around to get to go a short distance. So that's why our subject today is how to be efficient and effective God's way. He does not want you to wander in the wilderness like the people of Israel did for 40 years before arriving at your destination. He wants to show you how to be efficient and effective. One guy said, the faster I go, the behinder I get. You can get in a rat race and it's not very nice. So what we want to do today is talk about and show you from Scripture the principles that when you apply them will make you efficient and effective. Now, I want to begin with this Scripture. You probably know this well because I refer to it frequently. A man's gift, that is a person's embedded natural ability given to you by God, is going to make space or room for you and is going to bring you to promotion and before, in fact, great men. So God has given you this embedded natural ability. We call it spiritual gifts in the King James Bible. And so he wants that to be fully functional, fully efficient. So how do we make it efficient? That's our subject today. So watch it now, because you and I travel the pathway less traveled. Remember how the Scripture says that broad is the way that leads to destruction. You know, if you're not going anywhere, any road will take you there, right? Broad is the way that leads to destruction. Narrow is the way, is the right way. And so we get on this narrow track, and it's narrow because we operate by principles and not just fly any which way. So what are the principles from God that make it, in fact, effective and efficient for you to make your proper path in life? Number one, it has to do with having genuine love, no fake love. So the Scripture comes and says, let love be without dissimulation. No artificiality to it. No pretending. And that's the problem of our day. We know how to show love, but do we really love? That's the question. So without love, by the way, remember, this love of which I speak is slow to lose patience. It looks for a way of being constructive. And in fact, it goes on to say, that it has no end to its trust, no fading of its hope. It is, in fact, the one thing that still stands when all else has fallen. It's permanent, and it's the way of life. So tip number one is to have genuine love. Tip number two is learning to hate everything that's wrong and love what is right. Check the Scripture out. Abhor that which is evil. Have an utter abhorrence to that which is wrong. And look at this now, and cleave, hold on to that which is good. To get down life's track successfully, we must learn to hate everything that's wrong and love what is right. You cannot imagine how many people have not got right and wrong figured out yet. In fact, the Scriptures comes with this warning, whoa, watch out. Woe to them that put good for evil and evil for good. Big trouble. Not knowing the difference between good and evil. If you're going to be efficient, then the second tip is simply this, that we, in fact, need to abhor that which is evil and cleave to that which is good. Number three. If you want to be efficient, you want to be friendly. Be kind to everybody. In fact, look at this. It treats people like your brother. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. That's the filial stuff, right? Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. And so tip number three on God's way to being efficient is certainly to learn how to be friendly and to be kind. I can't remember exactly who originated this, but it goes something like this. Everyone you meet is going through something you don't know anything about. So be kind. Be kind. Some people are going through deep, deep troubles. Be kind. You never know. Be kind. Have genuine love. Hate evil. Love good. Love everything that's right. Be kind and be friendly to all people. Now this goes on, and we learn to enjoy honoring other people by preferring them. So here's the scripture. In honor, this is what the scripture tells us to do, prefer one another. Well, what does that mean? Prefer means to give priority to another person, to put somebody else ahead of yourself. In fact, it means to hold another in higher estimation. You probably remember the scripture that says that we should esteem others higher than ourselves. If you want to be efficient and you want to be truly effective, get in this habit and enjoy being in the habit of honoring other people, giving them preferential treatment. So the scripture says in honor, preferring one another. Then the scripture next says, don't be slothful in business. What does that mean? It means be active. Don't be slothful. Don't be lazy. Use a business approach. Just take care of business. And so that will make you efficient. That will make you effective. The next tip that the scriptures give us, and I call them tips. They really shouldn't. I should really call them principles because they are so powerful. So they're not just a tip you can sort of like take it or leave it, right? But these are steadfast and wholesome directions from God because he's interested in your success. He's interested that you be efficient and that you be effective. And so the next one, after watch it now, we have learned to get in this wonderful habit of honoring other people, being kind, and not being lazy, but do take care of business. And now, this is an emotional thing added to it. The scripture says to stay enthused. The actual phrase is fervent in spirit. It's kind of interesting because this word enthused actually means, see, watch here. This thusy here, enthusiasm, the thusy part of the word actually is referring to Theo, God. N, the N in front, means in you. The actual literal translation of enthusiasm means God's energy in you. So fervent in spirit. Be fervent in spirit. And then let's keep moving. Well, maybe not. Here's another tip from scripture. It's based on that same be fervent in spirit idea. And so the apostle says, I put you in remembrance. Now watch this. Stir up the gift of God, that embedded natural ability that God has given you, which is in you. It's already inside of you. Stir it up. I think this contributes to the whole idea, don't you, of enthusiasm. Let's continue understanding God's way to efficiency and effective. And I want you to see this next dynamic point. And it is simply this. Work as for the Lord and not for mere mankind. You'll understand that better in a second. But take a look at this. Scripture comes and this mandate comes. The direction comes. The principle comes. Whatever you do, do it as unto the Lord and not unto men. In fact, let's take a look at a portion of Scripture. This is a stunning idea. So Jesus takes all the disciples off balance with his idea. And this is what he says. I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you gave me some clothes. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came unto me. This was a shock to them. And they said, Lord, when? When did we see you hungry and feed you? Or when were you thirsty and we gave you something to drink? Come on, Lord. And when were you a stranger and we took you in? God, Jesus, Lord, when were you naked and we clothed you? And now watch the answer, because this is one of the greatest insights that will lead you to be efficient and effective. It will bring a calm to you. It will bring a confidence to you. Watch here now. Next scripture. Oh, I forgot this. When were you sick and we came unto you? And I said this. I'm saying unto you. Now watch. Here's the answer. Inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me. You thought you were doing it for somebody else, but you were really doing it for me. And this is a real big idea. That when we are helping someone else, we do it as unto the Lord. Now, there's some benefits to this. What if the person you do something for doesn't express gratefulness or thanksgiving or anything back to you again? It doesn't matter, because we didn't do it for them anyhow. We did it for the Lord. If we do things for people, we will have expectations, something coming back. But when we work for the Lord, we don't really have to worry about that. I'm going to show you why. Let's go back to the scripture again, because it says, work as to the Lord and not to men. Now here's the deal. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and your labor of love, which you have showed towards his name. Now watch this. You didn't seem like you were doing it for me, but you did it because you ministered to the saints, and you just keep on doing it. You just keep on blessing others. And God says, I'm not going to forget that. So you see, I remember the words of a song from many a year ago. In working and striving, just seems there's no reward. But remember, my friend, it is blessed by the Lord. Work everything you do as unto the Lord. Then it won't matter whether people compliment you, give you kudos, or return any favor. It doesn't matter, because we didn't do it for them anyhow. We did it for the Lord. We serve the Lord by serving other people. So the tip for efficiency and effectiveness, you can imagine, can't you, how effective this will be, because you don't carry on around all the weights and pressures of, or the anxiety or the fear or nobody likes me or anything else. Yeah, we just do it as unto the Lord, and we know that of the Lord we shall receive an inheritance. So we do our work as unto the Lord. And then, in the doing of this, watch it now, because this contributes to efficiency and effectiveness. It says that we should stay happily optimistic. And the scripture way of phrasing it, that is to say, rejoicing in hope. I mean, we just stay optimistic all the time. Keep it going. Working for the Lord and stay optimistic. And then never quit in hard times. You will lose efficiency. In fact, you'll stop. You will not have effectiveness if you quit. And you never quit. The old adage, when the going gets tough, the tough get going, certainly would fit in here, wouldn't it? Never quit in hard times. How do we know that? The scripture says, I want you to be patient when you're going through tough times. Tribulation. I mean, everybody gets it. Trouble's here to stay. It's not going away. Being efficient and effectively handling it is what's important. So the scripture says to be patient in tribulation. So what does this word patient mean? It means able and willing, right, to accept, tolerate, or suffer delays without becoming annoyed or anxious. Able and willing to accept or tolerate or even suffer delays without becoming annoyed or anxious. So the Lord wants us to be patient. Don't quit when it gets tough. It's one of the principles of God's way to efficiency and effectiveness. Now, here's a big one coming up. We're calling it number 10. My wife doesn't like the numbering system, but I think people get lost if they don't have numbers. I mean, every day of the month is numbered, right? I mean, we number everything. So here we are with number 10. And this is a big one. To be efficient and effective, you want to make sure that you maintain an unbroken relationship with God. So how does the scripture phrase this instruction? Here it is. Continuing in prayer. Instant. Continuing. Whenever you need to pray, you just pray. Instant, anytime, in season, out of season. Because prayer is our vertical connection with God. In other words, and you need to, you, if you haven't already got this, you should get it. The prayer is not a monologue. It's not just spouting off into the ethereal of the universe. It's not a one-sided conversation. Prayer is a dialogue. We ask God questions, He gives us answers. We tell Him our opinion, He gives us His. It's a dialogue. This is the essence of genuine Christian. To live in a relationship with God that doesn't stop and start, on again, off again, lasts for a week and then we desert God. The way to be efficient and effective, and watch it again, it's to maintain an unbroken vertical relationship with God. Continue instant in prayer. Now, there are other verses. Here's one. One scripture says, pray without ceasing. I mean, we just keep doing this, don't we? We stay in contact with God. This is vital. For the scripture says, let me see if I can give you some of James chapter 1, when all kinds of trials and temptations crowd into your lives, my brothers. Don't resent them as intruders, but welcome them as your friends. Imagine that. Welcome your problems as your friends. Watch now. Realize that they've come to test your faith and to produce in you the quality of endurance. Now watch. Listen, brother. And if anyone does not know how to meet a particular problem, he has only to ask of God, who gives generously to all men without making them feel guilty about asking or ashamed. So when problems come, we get to consult with God. Maintain an unbroken relationship with God. Makes you efficient. Makes you effective. You'll know what to do when you otherwise haven't got it figured out. And then an interesting turn of emphasis here. This scripture says to distribute to others to help them with their necessities. To use our own funds to help other people. Yeah, our own funds. Distribute. Now watch this. To the necessity. And this is important. God wants us to give to the poor, but not to the slothful. There's a big difference. You need to vet. We don't give to the slothful. In fact, the scripture says if it doesn't, man doesn't work, it shouldn't eat. Because it's slothful, right? But there are those who, for whatever reason, are unable to produce an income or meet their basic needs. Well, here we are. Now, what could be efficient about helping somebody with our own assets? Here's the answer. The scripture says, he that gives to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will repay him. Who? So we learn to use our own funds. It goes farther than that. It gets more personal than just giving people money to help them out. The scripture says to share food and fellowship with them. It's given to hospitality. Hospitality, that's what it is. It's food and fellowship. And so this is not just about giving a dollar here, $5 there, $100, or $1,000 for that matter. And we forget about people. Relationship is so important. So it isn't just the money. It's the relationship. Share food and fellowship. Christian people ought to be the best givers to the help of the needy. I know the government's taking it over. The government seems to be doing it now. In fact, one of the problems is people expect it from the government, and when you get money from the government, it doesn't come with any affection. It doesn't come with any empathy or sympathy. Just cold, hard dollars. You owe it to me, kind of stuff. But Jesus is a lot different than that. It isn't just about, it is about meeting people's needs. But it's meeting them in a caring, loving, hospitable way. Let's keep moving. Always bless people and never curse them, even in private. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Oh. Now, I want you to take a look at the scripture. Again, bless them. It does not say bless them that bless you. It says bless them that persecute you. Don't curse them. Bless those that are against you. This is a revolutionary idea. We don't mind giving to people who are give back, or are people who are nice to us. So we'll go ahead and bless them because they're nice to us. But this is so extraordinary in terms of our culture. For Jesus comes along and he says, I want you to love your enemies, to do good to those that do evil to you. So he teaches us this tremendous principle of efficiency, which is bless people, don't curse them ever, even if they're your adversary. Can you imagine the efficiency and the effectiveness that comes from such a behavior? It's wonderful. Now, I'll get some more detail on this. Look at this. We learn to increase the joy of others by joining in their rejoicing, helping them celebrate. When they celebrate, we celebrate with them. Look at this. Rejoice with them that do rejoice. That's probably easier to do than the next one, and this is what the next one is. Reduce the pain of others by shedding your own tears. Look at this. Weep with them that weep. It seems to be a lot easier to rejoice for those who are rejoicing, but the hurting, the damaged, the discouraged, the sick. We need to, in some real efficient way, enter into their pain, because it will help lessen it. For them to know somebody weeps with them. Tears, idle tears, I know not from whence they come, said Shakespeare. Perhaps from the depth of some divine despair that surfaced to the face, to the tears, to the eyes. Tears, Tears are a language that people really understand. It seems to me that we are so theoretical, theological, academic. Christianity can be turned into a whole bunch of rules, regulations, and principles, and et cetera, as well, and they're necessary, right? But now we have doctrine without tears. Oh, for the genuine weeping with those that weep. Now the scripture tells us to get along. Learn how to get along. How do you do that? Because the Bible says, how can two walk together except they be agreed, right? So be of the same mind, one toward another. Settle the issues. Learn to get along with people. Let me tell you something. This is probably the biggest principle that makes for success in the workplace. Not can you do the job, but can you get along with the others that are there? So let's keep going. We're getting there. Here we go. Don't be a snob. Don't be snobbish or highfalutin. How does the scripture say that? Here it is. Don't mind high things. Yeah. In fact, well, I don't really want to go that far. I'm going to back up again. No, let me tell you something. Let me just continue because the next two points are also about this thing, about not being snobbish and high mind. Here we go. Instead, we learn to condescend, but without being condescending, right? But look at this. But condescend to men of low estate. Oh my goodness. I think Jesus is the best example of this. To condescend means to come from a high state to a low state voluntarily, right? So, my goodness. Jesus, God himself, coming to become a man, a babe in a manger. That's condescension, coming from a high position to a low position voluntarily. Condescend. There are people who are down or feel down or think they're down. Want to be efficient and effective with them. Do you want to sit on the curb or the sidewalk, wherever they are? Not like a know-it-all. Not like a savior on a white horse. That's not how Jesus came. No pomp, no ceremony, no parade, no band, no celestial loudspeakers blaring. He just came like a pig. And there was no even room for him in the inn. To condescend, but not to be condescending. It's a big principle of efficiency. So here we wrap it up with another one in this little group here out of the number that we've got. And this relates to not being condescending. Don't be a know-it-all. Don't be a know-it-all. How does the scripture say it? Don't be wise in your own conceits. Don't be a smart aleck. Why? Because the way of the fool is right in his own eyes. But he that hearkens to counsel is wise. Now, what's this in scripture? The way of a fool, he thinks he knows it all. And because he thinks he knows it all, he doesn't listen to advice. So in contrast to the fool in this scripture is he that listens unto counsel, and that makes for wisdom. Look at the scripture. Seest thou a man wise in his own conceit? there is more hope of a fool than of him. Not, he is in big trouble. Don't be a know-it-all. You will not be efficient. You will not be effective. You'll not get along with people. You'll probably be despised. Now look at this, again at this scripture. See a man that's wise in his own conceit. What is this thing called conceit? So let me give you a definition. Conceit means vain, narcissistic, self-centered, egotistical, proud, arrogant, haughty, full of oneself. Don't be a know-it-all. Now, here's what happens to people who think they know it all, right? They have an exaggerated sense of their own importance. They're expecting that everybody will see their superiority, recognized as superior to everybody else. They exaggerate their achievements and their talents. Because they go, glory be to me. They become preoccupied with fantasies of success, power, brilliance. That's what know-it-alls are like. They require constant admiration, expecting unquestioning compliance because they are the Mr. Wisdom of the day. You better do what I say. Don't be a know-it-all. They expect unquestioning compliance. They have the inability, watch it, know-it-alls have the inability or unwillingness, probably is more accurate, inability or unwillingness to recognize the needs and the feelings of others. Don't be a know-it-all. Scripture says, don't be wise in your own conceits. Number 20. Boy, you're getting a lot today, aren't you? We're only going to 24, so be calm. Wise says now, to be efficient and effective, never do back to others an evil for an evil. Sort of covered that earlier. So important that the scriptures emphasize it by repetition, because repetition is the classic method of learning. See? Recompense no man. Look at this. Evil for evil. This is the bad stuff. Evil for evil. You do me bad, I'm going to do you bad back. This is the way of our culture. But if you want to be efficient and effective, don't go there, because you'll be like the people that are doing you bad. You're doing back to them. They were able to provoke you into being just like them. Oh my. Recompense no man evil for evil. Why not? Because the calling on our life, which includes efficiency and effectiveness, is different. So watch this, because here comes the scriptures to give us the explanation. Hereunto were you called. Now watch this. Because Christ also, now watch this, he suffered for us, watch now, leaving us an example that we should follow in his steps of suffering for others. I don't want you to miss this. He suffered for us, and this is what we're called to. An example that we should follow in his steps. Who did no sin, no bitterness was found in his mouth when they did him wrong. Who, when he was reviled not again. And when he suffered, he threatened not. He didn't do back to them. But he committed himself to him that judges righteously. He committed himself to his Father. Never do back to others an evil for an evil. Look at it again. Recompense no man evil for evil. And then, in your own personhood, be honorable and worthy of respect. Comes the scripture, talk about honesty. Provide things honest. In the sight, everybody's looking. Don't pretend to be honest. Be authentically honest. Be, look at this now. Be honorable. Be worthy of respect. In fact, the scripture says, let your speech always with grace seasoned with salt, because it makes things taste better, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. Be honorable and worthy of respect. It will make you efficient. It will make you effective. People will be able to respond to you. All right, three more points. What's your now? Peace. It's a big deal. Make peace with other people your top priority. Now look what the scriptures say. If it be possible, look at this, as much as lies in you, with every energy you got, look at this now, live peaceably with, not just a few, not just a many, but with everybody. Live peaceably with all men. And then make sure you leave any and all retaliation up to God alone. Never do that. Dearly beloved, don't avenge yourselves. Remember what he said? Vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. Never do back. Never retaliate. Never, never, never. Instead, and this is my fourth point, and my last one, 24th. Instead, respond with loving actions, good actions. Remember, avenge not yourself, but rather, first of all, give place to wrath. People are going to do what they're going to do. Now watch it. For it is written, God says, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Now I want you to really nail this down. Listen to what God says. Vengeance is mine. Why is it now? I will repay, saith the Lord. I will repay, saith the Lord. I will repay, saith the Lord. Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Whoa. Instead of retaliation of any sort with others, leave it up to God, because he says, vengeance is mine, I will repay. So therefore, look what he says after this. If your enemy's hungry, give him food. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. And so doing, you heap coals of fire upon his head. You put those hot coals, they're wrapped in a blanket, so when he travels, he can stay warm at night when there's no hotel. And look at this. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. That, my friend, is what will make you efficient and effective. Don't become overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. I hope it's been helpful to you to learn how to be efficient and effective God's way. It will work for you.
Discover and uncover the truth about you.
At the core, everybody needs to have an accurate identity. They need to know who they are, what they are, and why they're here. Otherwise, life is just a maze and doesn't make a lot of sense.
Author David L. Johnston's new book, Why You Were Born, will give you a new appreciation for your true self.
You turn from a question mark to an exclamation mark.
Why You Were Born unlocks the mystery surrounding your purpose in life, and it will lead you to choose a life path of excellence to live your best life.
And so it's a starting point for what I would call an amazing life, to know why you were born. You're here for a reason.
Learn more. Visit nothingbutthetruth.org/born. That's nothingbutthetruth.org/born.